Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the Giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. So in this season, there has been, people are freaking out, and Christians are freaking out. Last week I talked about why do Christians freak out about the return of Christ, and I hope that for some people I put that a little bit to bed, because some of us were just brought up with bad teaching about Jesus coming back. Man, I love Jesus. Can I be honest with you? I feel the best in my week that I feel when I'm in the presence of God. Like, a lot of times on Sunday morning is the best of people. Man, I can't believe you get up and go preach twice a month. Man, I love it because I get to hang out with all of God's people in two services, and they'll sing and they'll shout down. We had one time we had the sound system totally drop. We still don't know why. Like, it just turned itself off. And this is so cool. The worship team, our rhythm guitarist, Michael, I think it was that week, just kept playing. And the folks in the congregation kept worshiping, and I think Brandon kept playing the drums or whoever was on them, and we just kept going. They flipped the system back on, and everything came back on, and the sound came up, and we just kept going with it because people were so intent on worshiping God that the performance portion didn't really matter. So what happens is this, is I wonder if in this season as we're going through everything that we're going through, I think that sometimes one people get worried about the return of Christ. But just like that system drop, there's going to be a moment where the unexpected happens, and that's going to be the trumpet of God will sound, and those that are in Christ will be caught up, right? But what about now? Because here's the thing, like my house had this deep conversation about Revelation on like Thursday, I think it was. Like we were like, what does Revelation 4 mean? And what does Revelation 2 mean? And, you know, bowls and scrolls and dragons and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And so I went to this place. Can I do a funeral today, kind of, because this is the only time you hear this? This David was pressed in by a whole bunch of people that were going to kill him. There were all these governments that hated David and had pretty much put a bounty on his head. And David writes one of the most beautiful things at the worst time. David had no business writing what's about to happen. And the problem is the only time the church talks about this is at a funeral. And it's not a funeral text. Actually, most theologians believe this is the turning point for David's whole life. That David's kingdom turns and that all these things. And it comes from the 23rd Psalm. And you know it before I preach it. Like, I have people going, he's going 23rd Psalm, 23rd Psalm. It's like watching football. He's going to run it. You know, you just know where I'm going, right? Like it's a thing. So if we will, we're just going to dive into it. And I want to take it verse by verse because, man, I sat down this week, and I'll be honest with you, I feel like Jesus is coming back quick. Yeah. This is not going to make me popular. There's some things that I'm going to talk about over the next couple of weeks that are not going to make me popular, but my job is not to be popular. It's to tell you the truth. I can grow churches up. I can grow churches down. I got a talent. You know what I mean? It goes both ways. But here's the thing. I have to be obedient to what I feel like the Lord wants me to teach you. And so I was sitting there, and I just feel like the world's freaked out. People are calling me about all kinds of stuff because, government and stuff is looking and saying, you have to do this and you have to do that. And honestly, in the next week or so, I'm going to speak to the vaccine, and it's not going to make me popular, but I just have to tell you the truth on 500 questions that I'm getting every day. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. And people are probably not going to jump up and down over everything that I have to say, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And then you're adults, process it. Because here's the thing. People go, well, you got to be careful what you say from the pulpit because people listen to you. And I'm like, really? If that's the case, nobody in Alamance County would sin anymore. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and then you as adults step out and go, do I apply this? Do I take it? Do I believe him? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it write? That's why a lot of times I give you multiple Scripture texts. This morning I'm not. I'm coming out of one chapter, Psalms 23. That's all you're getting. Because in this season, I've got people freaking out going, man, I don't know where the world's going to. We were listening to 80s music the other day, and my wife turned around and looked at me and goes, remember when life was simple? It was a car wash. And it was, could you get enough money out of the couch to buy gas for 98 cents a gallon? Golly, I feel like my grandparents right now. And then my wife looked at me and said, has life always been this hard? Are we just getting old and realizing, has it always been this? You ever feel this way? And I said, well, I think part of it, yeah, is that as you get older, you know, the world is constantly dying. It's dying morally. It's dying spiritually. It's dying, right? It's been doing it since the dawn of time. However, if you think about this, if you go back 100 years, there wasn't a telephone. Now we walk around with technology. There's more technology in your cell phone than total technology that we sent an astronaut to the moon and recovered him. Yeah. Now we use it to pop bubbles. Technology, intellect. 100 years ago, we weren't even sure that penicillin would work. Now we give it away like it's out of a Pez dispenser, and you got to be careful that you don't get too much medical treatment so the medical treatment stops working. 100 years ago, there was no TV. Now, for $1 million, you can buy 8,000 channels a month. And then complain that there's nothing to watch. Think about, I mean, the world is just exponentially accelerating. I know this from driving a car. If you drive fast enough, you will wreck. The world's speeding up. So, but here's the thing. The problem is that Christians are beginning to experience hopelessness. But the Bible tells us don't live as those without hope. So let's take a minute, can we? David writes this Psalm, 23rd Psalm, verse 1, English Standard Version. Here we go. The Lord is, are you sure? Like, can I say this? Like, we read this and we go, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want him, right? And we just, because we were taught that if you're brought up in church or around church, you've been to a bunch of funerals, you can do this, you can do the 23rd in your sleep. You may not be sure, you may skip like a line or two, but you're going to get about 90% of the 20. It's only six verses, come on, man. It's not like you memorized the phone book. Don't be all that impressed. People go, you know the 23rd Psalm? It's six verses. And they're not like hard. But David starts out, you don't have to throw stuff. Hey, at least you're a note taker. Worship leader's like, there's my pen. David makes a statement and he starts, says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we read that like this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But if you read it from David's context, and hopefully this will become your context, David walks in and goes, man, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to take a fundamental understanding in everything that when I watch the news, the Lord is still my shepherd. That when a governor talks, the Lord is still my shepherd. That when I start contemplating how everything affects my work and my life, that the Lord is still my shepherd. What is he really saying? Look, man, the Lord has guided me every step of my way. There's no reason for you to freak out. You weren't born by accident. God knew right when you would be born. The scripture says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. He formed and he fashioned you and he created you with a purpose and a destiny. You're not here because you may have been a surprise to your parents, but you were not a surprise to God. That means that God had the, so imagine a string that runs from right here all the way across the stage to this other speaker, and we tie both of those off, and we say this is the timeline of all of humanity. Creation starts here, and time will end, and the new kingdom, a new heaven, and the new earth will be set up here, right? And forever, eternity starts right here, right? I believe we're right here, possibly right here, potentially right here. Now that can freak you out, or you can go, God had you made. And he could have dropped you anywhere in this timeline. But to quote an Old Testament verse, he created you for such a time as this. How many of you made this statement? I don't know that I can put up with a lot more. You can because you were built for it. Because the Lord is your shepherd. God is guiding me through my life. the days are long, but the years are short. I've got to let God guide me, but I have to start out with this thing. Man, who is the guiding principle in my life? If God is really my shepherd, then I need to slow down and I need to trust Him. Because he makes this next statement. He says this, I shall not want. What does that even mean? That means this, I understand that God is the author and the finisher of my faith in my life. That God will provide everything that I need, not necessarily everything that I want, because I think want here is a bad translation from the original text. What it means is this, I'm going to give you everything that my heart really needs. He's going to provide everything that my body really needs. God has got me in the shadow of His wings. That I have to go back to this place where I understand that God is my shepherd. I love verse 2. It says this. He said, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I didn't really understand this text until we got a new puppy. Because right before he goes to sleep, he gets in what I call crack mode. He's somewhere between a piranha and the Tasmanian devil. He's like just teeth and energy, and he's fighting sleep. And sometimes I just have to grab him and bring him up and hold him real tight to me and go, shh, shh, and hold his head and his mouth closed, shh, and I start rocking him. I have to make him calm down. If you're in this season and you're like, man, I'm struggling a little bit, you need to figure out your shepherd. And then you need to get in His Word, because you can't listen and believe His Word and still be wound up. Jesus will be like, no, sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit. Sit. I love the term, He makes me. You can't be mine and act like that. Sit down. Sit. Sit. And then you put the leash on and you hold it to the ground. So, right, you know what I'm talking about. Sit. Sometimes God has to do that with me. When I start getting all wound up, He's like, whoa. You can either believe what you're seeing or you can believe me. Because it says this, that the righteous shall live by faith. Right? Now, well, that's great. Because we're all Christians, right? I hope we're all believers. And we say this, I live by faith and not by sight. But then we turn around and we go, I believe it when I see it. Now, faith is the substance made up of things that I can't see. Faith is the substance, things hoped for. I'm sorry, the things that we hope for. But based on evidence of things I can't see. God said, I'm going to have to make you lay down and be at peace. You're going to have to get so in the Word that in this season, you can live a life in the midst of chaos in peace. In peace, in the midst of chaos. Have you ever been in a situation where everybody's freaking out and there's like that one person that's just ice cold? I mean, like, stuff's on fire and blowing up and all that. No, like, everybody calm down. Your exit rows are here, here, and here. I'll go get the fire extinguisher. You call 911. It's all good. Can I be honest with you? In this moment, God's people should be the John Waynes of the moment. No. Everybody calm down. We'll deal with it. Does this make any sense? Why? Because I'm going to go lay down in the pasture, in a green pasture. What does a green pasture mean if you're a sheep? It's a place where all your needs are met. He said, man, I'm going to go and I'm going to take my people to where mentally, physically, spiritually, where their souls are just set down at peace. Well, how do you do that? Man, you do it in the presence of God. You do it by reminding yourself that God has you and that God has this world. And nothing in this world will happen that God doesn't check off on. So why do we freak out? Because I don't know what's going to happen. Well, are you going by what you know or by what God knows? God doesn't ever get surprised. He said, man, so you need to go there and you need to just get beside those still waters and calm yourself down. He goes on and he says this, verse 3, and it goes right with it. He restores my soul. I went through a season where my soul got dirty. I was on social media. I actually just went back on it like two or three days ago. I just am like, I'm good now. And when I get dirty again, I'll stop. But on my news feed, I had a bunch of political stuff, and I had a bunch of stuff that I cared about, and a bunch of people that cared about stuff. And every time I read it, I either went in fear or I went angry. And I woke up one day and went, my soul is dirty. And so I got off social media other than liking the church stuff and just some random people when I happen to go in and like the church stuff. And I went back and started watching Andy Griffith. Andy will make you happy. And I started watching Mr. Bill Cosby. I'm not saying that I agree with everything, but Bill Cosby will make you happy. You can't watch The Cosby Show and be a bad person. I'm just kidding. You probably could. I went back and found the TV show Fantasy Island, like the old version. We went back and started watching. Matter of fact, I'm a big MASH fan. I had to turn MASH off because I started watching. I'm like, there's way too much politics in MASH. I didn't even know it was there. Boop, it's gone. Fired you. And I got to a place where I was listening to more word and I was listening to more worship. And I shut some stuff off and spent a little bit more time being a better dad and being a better husband and being a better Christ follower and loving people around me. And I got up one day and I went, you know what? My soul feels a whole lot better. I took some vacation and tried not to work the whole time because that's a problem for me. It's a calling of God. How do you not do it? Well, sometimes you got to go, stop it. Lay down. And I just wonder sometimes, does your soul need a detox? Do you need to get back in the presence of God and just step back from some stuff and let your soul be restored? And my peace of mind, my heart, my spiritual sense, like from the inside out, maybe I just need to take a step back and be more in the presence of God than I am in the moment. The other part of 3 says this, like this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, he made you lay down, but now he's going to lead you in a path. You know, the funny thing, I love that all this is in the context of sheep, because he said, I'm going to make you lay down and be quiet. I need you to work on, let me restore your soul. I need you to do all that. But now I'm going to try to make you righteous, which we know this, that we're righteous by what? What we do? No, righteousness by the things of God, but by the blood of Christ. Christ makes us right. But it takes a while for our behavior to match up with our righteousness. He's a good kid. Why is he hit my mailbox with a bat? Oh, we'll work through that. He's still a good kid, right? Because good kids do bad things. You ever ask your kid why they do something? I'm going to tell you what they say. I don't know. And we're like, how dumb are you? How many times do you do something and then you go tell God you're sorry and then you're like, why did I even do that? And you answer yourself and go, I don't know. I knew better. That's why I said, I'm leading you on a path of righteousness for his namesake, meaning that I'm going to make you more and more righteous so that you can be a testimony to God. But I understand that on this path, you're going to zigzag. It ain't a straight line. If you're a straight line person, you need to find a new church because your pastor was not a straight line. Mine looked more like a drunk driver's walking test. Like, I tried to stay. Anybody ever watch those YouTube videos where you watch drunk people try to take the sobriety test, heel to toe? But when they do it, it's like heel to toe. Right? I feel like I know what the straight and narrow is. I can see the line. But getting my actions to match up with the line sometimes for me is difficult. Please don't make me feel like I'm the only person. But God said this, I lead you. If you'll hold my hand, even in your sinful stupor, and as you become sober into the things of God, and mature, your footsteps will become more and more close to the way that I teach you to walk. So let's see what we've learned so far. God really wants to be our shepherd. And sometimes he has to make us get down into his word and be quiet, that he wants us to clean up our soul. And then he wants us to lead us in a way that we become more and more righteous like God. We're instantaneously sanctified. We're instantaneously made right with God. But then walking out that sanctification is learned. People say, do you believe that sanctification, what does sanctification mean? Set apart from sin to serve God, right? all the S's. I believe that the minute you give your life to Christ, you're made right with God. You're sanctified. You can't get any more holy. But then you got to learn how to be it. It's a process. Verse 4. Even though I walk through this crazy, ridiculous time that I feel like I'm going to die in, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will. See, some people just stop with the first three lines of that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Man, I fear the government. I fear the shot. I fear the future. I fear the return of Christ. I fear. But if you read David writing, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And here's what I'm betting my entire eternity on, that my God is bigger than you. I think that in a fist fight, Jesus beats the devil every time. I think this, that God loves me enough that even in this time, I can stand behind him like a whipped puppy. You know what I'm talking about? And I can bark and then go get him. I just really believe that God is bigger. And if God is bigger, then why do I fear? He said, man, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Love this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, it's the same stick. Imagine a shepherd's crook, right? It's a big stick with a hook on the end. And it's made to do two things. It's made to gently nudge sheep where they're supposed to go. You can also whack a sheep with that same stick. But you whack a wolf totally different. Anybody ever popped somebody you love? I trust this. I trust that three things. I trust that God will gently correct me and direct me. I know that God chastises those whom he loves. So when God corrects me, I don't have to like fall into condemnation about myself. I just know that God laid it on my heart, made me feel guilty about it because it's the Holy Spirit going, get right. But I also know this, that God will gently nudge me, but God will whack me if he has to because he loves me. But I also know this, that if I'm God's kid, he'll take that same stick and he'll go after the devil with it. So why do I worry if I know that I have a defender father? Why do I worry when I go, man, God, you're making me right, and it's by your blood that I was made right. And so here's the thing. I'm going to trust that you're going to correct me enough to get me into heaven. Because we still worry about that, some of us. Even though Romans said this, that if a man confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. But we're looking for the clause that God did to get us out of heaven. I just don't know if I'm good enough. Well, you never were. If you were good enough, Jesus would have died for everybody but you. Because you're good enough. But if it's all through Jesus, how can you do anything to make yourself better? Other than go, I need you. And then try to learn to walk this straight and narrow that doesn't always look straight and narrow in your life. He said this, if all those things are true, then why are you not understanding that your rod and your staff, they give me comfort. The fact that the Holy Spirit makes me feel bad about stuff, guess what? Means that the Holy Spirit's still talking to me. If the Holy Spirit's talking to me, then God must have something going on in my life. And if something's going on in my life, then I'm obviously heading in the right direction. Yeah, but God keeps making me uncomfortable. A whack generally does make you uncomfortable. Thank God for it and grow in it. You either do two things when God starts whacking you in the head. You'll either get better or you get brain damage. Have you ever met Christians that are brain damaged and they just off the reservation? God said this. He said, man, let me guide you. Let me direct you. Let me comfort you. And I'll get you where you're trying to go. I love this. We'll do five, please. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I love this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many of y'all through this whole season find that your appetite goes down or your stomach starts hurting the minute you start watching some of the stuff that's going on? You need to lay down. You need to let your soul be cleansed. You need some correction and direction from the Word of God. You need the Holy Spirit, right? Because when we get those places, when we really understand that God has got all this down, we quit freaking out about it. We sit down and we order a big meal. Because I'm not getting all jacked up about it. This is a John Wayne moment. He said, yeah. So in David's life, here's what's going on. There are literally armies surrounding him all the way around. And he's getting ready to die. And he realizes that everything that he has, all of his anointing, everything has come from God anyway. And that if God has brought him this far, I mean, remember, he wasn't even supposed to be a king. His dad thought so much of him, he didn't even bring him in to be looked at to be king. David's got it going on, obviously. Then, in order to become king, he's got to go kill Goliath. Why would you even fight Goliath if the prophet said that you could be the king anyway? Is David just a glutton for punishment? But David's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he goes and he kills Goliath. But then he manages to make the rest of the world mad at him. And he knows he's getting ready to die. And then this revelation of God comes in. He says, man, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to freak out like everybody else in my kingdom is. I'm going to sit down and... Because God, if God is for me, if he's really my shepherd, why am I freaking out? Then he says this, in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. As a matter of fact, as I eat, as I restore my soul, as I'm led on this path of righteousness, I figured this out. That's where my anointing comes from. That's where all my blessing comes from. That's where all the favor of God comes from in my life. It's just being in the presence of God. And then he says this, my cup runs over. Man, can I be honest with you? In this season, I felt like my cup is empty. I don't have anything else to give anybody. Just trying to get me done. Right? Jesus said this, if you lay down. Paul said this, if you lay down. David says this, if you lay down. Scripture over and over and over again says, man, if you'll just lay down and let God restore you. If you'll just get in the presence of God. And you don't have to wait on church on Sunday morning. You can do it riding down the road. You can do it with your AirPods at work. You can do it if they won't let you have AirPods. I'm going to tell you the quickest way. If you want your company to adopt an AirPods Pro policy, here's what you do. You start singing out loud at work all your Jesus songs. You want to deal with that annoying coworker at work? I'm going to tell you how you do it. Hey, Adam, what? Do you remember when you were a sinner and you were ugly to people? Why, yes, I do. How did you get through that? You start talking to yourself because they can't fire you for talking to you. You lead you to Jesus. You restore you to yourself. And they, because here's the thing, they have to listen to it. You know, Adam, I was thinking the other day about what the preacher said. Sometimes I just need to restore my soul because people will act funky, God, and you know who I'm talking about. Can you imagine your boss coming to you? Hey, your neighbor said that you were... No, I was talking to myself. I was talking to myself and God. Out loud. They said you were talking about them. No. If they got their toes stepped on, that's between them and the Lord. I'm just here, you know, packing boxes. That's all I'm doing. Man, because I'm going to be at peace because I know who my shepherd is. I'm going to let my cup overflow. My wife and I used to argue a lot. We did. We were good at it. And then one day we started telling God on each other. Out loud. In front of each other. I came in one day. I was mowing the grass. I just got mad. I got my little lawnmower stuck and bees and, you know, lions and tigers again, you know. I mean, it was just that day. And I came in, I was mad, and I wanted to fight with somebody. And my wife was in there cooking, so I just picked a fight with her. Don't tell me you've ever done it.
Like, you knew she wanted you to take your shoes off, but you're not going to. So you walk through, and then she's like, why didn't you take your shoes off? Because I'm thirsty, and I'm out in 100-degree heat mowing the yard, so you got a good place to live. And you're going to complain because I walk in with the shoes on. All I wanted was a drink of water. How dare you? Right? That'll get it started. And if that doesn't work, say something about her mama. Say something about his mama. You can kick a good fight off like that. We know how to do it. And then I never will forget this. My wife, she's standing at the stove. She goes, oh, it's okay. You just wear your dirty shoes through the house. God, will you be with my husband right now and his nasty attitude? I love him, but right now I'd let you have him back. Lord, will you just let your Holy Spirit settle on this place from the front of our yard to the back? God, will you just convict him of his attitude? Because I'm not going to do it. I'm tired of arguing with him. I just want you to minister to him, God, because whatever's going on in his heart has to be bad for him to talk to me that way. But God, I'm going, checkmate. And then I got out and I started mowing, and the longer I mowed, the more conviction I fell under. So I had to turn on my mad music up in my right. Because you can't be listening to K-Love and mad at somebody. What a friend we have in you. I figured this out, that you can let your cup overflow regardless of the circumstance. But you have to treat the circumstance with the presence of God. End of the verse. End of the chapter. Surely. Surely I know. Surely I'm positive. Surely that I'm totally convinced in my mind that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means this. Goodness and mercy are tracking you down. You can't lose goodness and mercy if you try to. You can't lose the favor of God. If you try to outrun it, it will track you down. It says that it will follow you. It will be magnetically drawn to your life when you do the rest of this verse. If you really want to live in the place where you're like, man, I'm blessed. Blessed doesn't have anything to do with the zeros in your bank account. Now, it can. I'm not opposed to money. Money never solved a problem, but it's created a few. I don't need excessive money. I need my daily bread. Now, I like to have a loaf of bread extra in the freezer in case somebody stops by and needs it. I can even freeze some for tomorrow and give away. Scripture tells us to lay up some in the storehouse for right? I get it. Here's what I believe. I believe that God wants our finances to be good. I believe that he wants our mental health to be good. I think he wants our spiritual health to be good. I think he wants our relational health to be good. I think he wants our parental health to be good. And I think that it's found when we do things. Can you imagine when you come in and before you light into your kids, you pray over them? Told you to clean your room. Lord, will you just help my child not walk in rebellion? Lord, will you help me not do anything to this child that will make you unhappy? Because I'm thinking about it. Does this make sense? What if we really approach life with a biblical mindset? Do you see the peace that it gives? Lord, look, this whole world's going crazy, but thank God you are my provider. Thank God that goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Meaning this, that if this world gets too crazy, you'll take me home before you leave me in. If you get to the place where you can't let goodness and mercy follow me, you will catch me up unto yourself. I'm good. What do you think about this crazy world? I think it's good. I think it's great. Whatever. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Whatever y'all want to do. We need to save the planet. Why? Jesus said he's making a new one. I mean, I'm not saying don't recycle. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying I'm not going to get but so upset about it. This is disposable to begin with. I mean, you should be freaking out. What about the virus? What about Jesus? He's contagious too. Look at the day of Pentecost. A couple of boys got filled with the Holy Spirit, and next thing you know, woo, we had a breakout. And there ain't a vaccine that'll stop the Holy Spirit. So maybe I just need to let that cup overflow a little bit. Well, aren't you afraid of getting it? Well, no, because here's the thing. The God that I serve didn't run from the leper. He ran towards the leper. He didn't run away from sickness. Sickness actually came and tried to touch him, and he didn't go, oh my gosh, who touched me? Give me the hand sanitizer.
He said, I felt virtue go out of my body. Now, again, I'm not saying don't wash your hands. Wash your hands for the love of all things good. Wash your hands. Like, not because of the virus, but just please wash your hands. But I know this, that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And let me make a confession right here. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think we should make this statement every morning when we get up, every day at lunch, and every night before we go to bed. This needs to be, because you will believe 80% of 20% of what everybody says, but you believe 80% of what you say. Let this be the confession. And Lord, I will dwell in your house for all time. I'm going to dwell in your house forever. God, you have me. This life is temporary. COVID doesn't make it temporary. It was temporary before I was born. I went into this world dying. And you're the cure. So you know what? However, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Aren't you worried about getting something? No, I'm not worried about meteors either. Or car wrecks. Or airplane crashes. My son and I took an airplane a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago, my wife goes, you know, the only thing that makes me nervous about that is just both of you. I don't know what I would do if I would lose both of you. I said, you're not going to. She's like, you're right. Because here's what I believe. If God has to let that airplane fly on angel power alone, I'll make it to the airport. And if not, I'll be the survivor. And if I don't survive, I'll be in the presence of God. I'll see you in a minute. Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, you're trying to figure out which lottery ticket you're going to scratch and help me win. Because when I found Jesus, I hit the lottery. Does that make sense? I spent a dollar and got a million. I didn't give anything up and got everything. You know what I believe? I believe that in this season, if you live like John Wayne, and I know John Wayne isn't a spiritual, he's not like one of the 12 disciples, and he's not an apostle, but I think this John Wayne's persona was he strolled into chaos and just went, well. I think that if we'll roll around and we'll take the 23rd Psalm, we'll go, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Sometimes we need to say this, Lord, make me lay down in green pastures. Will you use your rod and your staff to comfort and direct me that when the stuff that's not let my soul be restored, will you whack me on the head so that I see it? Yeah, what will my friends think if I don't like their stuff? They're probably not paying that much attention to you to begin with. And if they don't get your soul needs a little refreshing, then they're probably not your friends anyway. Make sense? As we come to close, I kind of want to throw this out there. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I just need a reboot. I need a refresh. Will you just extend your hand towards heaven? I just want to pray for you on house in line. Father, for those that have just lifted their hand towards heaven and just said, man, I need a soul detox. I need a refreshing. I need you to overflow my cup. Father, will you just let your Holy Spirit just move in and through their life? God, will you refresh, will you renew, will you invigorate their life with the presence of the Holy Spirit? God, with the presence of your word, with the presence of your promise. Whether you're watching this online or you're here in house, maybe you don't have a relationship with God. If you're here, you're online, and you want to receive Jesus, will you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Thank you. Anybody else? All across this building, whether you raised your hand or not, will you just pray this prayer with me? And we believe that if this is the moment where you want to accept Jesus into your heart, if this is the moment where you want to make your life right with God, then it's a moment that God's calling you to. Romans says that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. Man, this is your moment. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I make you the Lord of my life. I believe you're going to take me to heaven with you. And in the meantime, let me live on this earth talking about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You don't have to have a long testimony to have a testimony. You don't have to be bad to have a testimony. All you have to do is go, man, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was all torn up inside. Man, how are you so peaceful? Because I found where my cup runs over from. I pray that this message helped you today. I want to thank our online Thrive Tribe for joining us today. Man, we pray that this ministered to you. Hope that you come back and see us next week. Man, we pray God's blessings over you.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you and we can't wait to see you again next time.